Radio Onda Italiana presentiert Voice of the Town. Informatie, actualiteit en eigenwijze muziek. Met Silvia Terribili. Op Radio Salto, Amsterdam. Iedere woensdagavond van 8 tot 10 tot 9. Voice of the Town. detto Sandro Fazio and Band in Growth uit zijn laatste album. En we gaan nu luisteren naar een bijdrage. En goedenavond allemaal. Dit is Radio Salto Amsterdam. Silvia Terribili hier in de studio voor Voice of the Town. En we gaan beginnen met een bijdrage van een Europese parlementslid. Dat is Claire Daly en ze maakt deel uit van de groep van de Groene Alliance. Dat is de GUE-NGL. En waar ook een aantal socialistische partijen zitten. Vroeger was de SP bijvoorbeeld lid van deze alliantie, maar laatst is geen enkele parlementslid van de SP gekozen in het Europees Parlement. Zij maakte deel uit van die groep. En in deze vurige bijdrage dan gaat ze haar positie verdedigen over het begrip sponsorstaat van terrorisme. We gaan luisteren naar Claire Daly. Dit is een bijdrage in de openbare zitting van het Europees Parlement in de plenary van 18 oktober. Claire Daly.
State sponsor of terrorism is a term of US law. It doesn't exist in EU law. But a Zelensky advisor called for it in the Parliament magazine, and here we are again reporting for duty. And all it will do is make peace harder to achieve. Exactly, of course, what the extremists want. No peace, no off-ramps, all bridges burning, and Ukraine a permanent abattoir in a suicidal holy crusade against...
The pavement's cold and empty, got the blues beneath my feet. Big old sun is rising up so elegant and thin. Another day is over for a new day to begin.
And the word said, hey, it's a brand new day. And the word said, hey,
hey, hey,
it's a brand new day,
day, hey.
Oh, baby, 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 I dreamed about you. Please tell me, tell me, tell me what I seen could not be true. You have taken my existence, you have filled it full of
de ley estadounidense.
You have turned into a stranger, now I need to walk alone. But I won't be sad, I won't be destroyed.
Brand new.
luisterde nu naar Eurythmics. Dat was Brand New Day. En ik zocht de juiste bijdrage van Claire Derry, maar helaas kon ik niet de originele vinden. En die van Danette, ja, dat was een fragment met een muziek daaronder. En dat, ik wou het graag zonder muziek doen, gewoon om duidelijk te laten horen wat Claire Derry had te zeggen. Want dat was een hele vurige bijdrage in het Europees Parlement. Maar ik probeer het nog op te zoeken. Het schijnt een beetje moeilijk te zijn nu. We gaan in de tussentijd wel luisteren naar Silver Sun Pickups.
Yeah.
dat was Silverson Pickups. En in Boston hebben ze een nieuwe gevaarlijke pathogeen geproduceerd. Dat zou wereldnieuws moeten zijn, breaking news. Maar eigenlijk is er in de Verenigde Staten is er wat meer ophef rond dit nieuws. Maar in andere landen veel minder. In Nederland praktisch heel weinig. Terwijl het ja, volgens mij breaking news is. Daar wordt niet zoveel aandacht aan besteed. Wat is daar gebeurd? Het zijn de feiten. Onderzoekers van de Universiteit van Boston beweren een nieuwe, meer dodelijke COVID-staam in het laboratorium te hebben ontwikkeld. Onderzoekers van de Universiteit van Boston voegden een spike-eiwit uit de Omicron-variant toe aan de originele Wuhan-stam, die een sterftecijfer van 80% heeft. Onderzoekers van de Universiteit van Boston zeggen dat ze een nieuwe COVID-stam hebben ontwikkeld met een sterftecijfer van 80% na een reeks vergelijkbare experimenten waarvan eerst werd gedacht dat ze de wereldwijde pandemie in China begonnen. De variant, een combinatie van Omicron en het oorspronkelijke virus in Wuhan, tot de 80% van de muizen die ermee besmet waren, aldus de universiteit. Toen muizen alleen werden blootgesteld aan Omicron, ervoeren ze milde symptomen. Het onderzoek werd uitgevoerd door een team van wetenschappers uit Florida en Boston in de National Emerging Infection Diseases Laboratories van de school. En het vreemde is ook dat dit experiment, dit virus gekweekt werd in een laboratorium die alleen een BSL-3 kwalificatie heeft. Terwijl wij weten nu dat het virus van Wuhan in ieder geval in een BSL-4 laboratorium behandeld moet worden vanwege die extreme gevaarlijkheid. En deze nieuwe chimerische virus, geproduceerd, dus niet natuurlijke virus, die wordt in een BSL-3 laboratorium behandeld. Ja, dit is onbegrijpelijk. Omicron die nu in omloop is, is niet zo gevaarlijk omdat die ontzettend besmettelijk is, maar niet dodelijk. De Omicron die nu rondloopt, die valt alleen ja, de neus, zeg maar, die komt binnen via de neus en die tast niet, die gaat niet naar de longen toe. Dus vandaar dat het minder gevaarlijk is. En zelfs die virus uit Wuhan was dodelijk alleen voor 1% van de mensen. Maar nu hebben ze een nieuwe virus gecreëerd die dus de slechtste kwaliteiten, eigenschappen van Omicron heeft en van het virus van Wuhan. En niemand maakt zich zorgen hierover. Anders is het met John Campbell. We gaan luisteren naar zijn verslag over dit nieuws.
A warm welcome to today's talk, Saturday the 22nd of October. Now, there's a rumour going round that scientists in Boston in the United States have made a new SARS coronavirus 2. And instead of killing essentially 0% of the mice it infects, it kills 80% of the mice it infects. Could this rumour possibly be true? I'm afraid to tell you, and it distresses me to tell you, that it is completely true. I find this unbelievable, outrageous arrogance. But we'll take a look at it and unpick it, and we will be looking at the scientific paper, of course. Now, this is the paper here. It's actually in the form of a preprint at the moment. But given that it's preprinted, it probably will be peer-reviewed shortly. But, of course, this does mean that the research took place. It's unlikely that they're lying about this research taking place. So this is actually happening. Now, this is the most incredible, in my view, gain-of-function research. We've gone from killing none of the mice to killing 80% of the mice. Now, OK, it might not be that bad if it escaped into people. It might only kill 40% of the people that infects, or 4% of the people it infects. We don't know. But playing with this sort of virus, to me, is just unbelievable. So let's have a look at it, and you make your own mind up. Don't let me prejudice you too much. Now, this is Enhanced Potential Pandemic Pathogen Research. So they're looking at these researchers, the SARS coronavirus 2. So what they've essentially done here is, we all know about the SARS coronavirus 2 here, and it's got these spike proteins on it, hasn't it, like that? I think we know this well now. So what they've done actually here is they've taken one of the original Wuhan-type viruses, which is a different type of virus, and essentially they've taken the spike proteins off that, off the original Wuhan-type virus, and they've put on some of the new Omicron-type spike proteins. And they find out this combination has made it 80%, basically 80% more deadly to mice. So what this means is it's not just the spike protein that make the virus deadly, it's also the genetics and the proteins in the rest of the virus that make it deadly. It's that combination. So that's quite an interesting scientific finding, not too surprising. But basically what they've done is they've mixed up two viruses and come up with this new one that has a massively higher function. It's gain of, this is surely gain of function research that we've been so worried about. Now, what do other people think about it? Professor Shapira, lead scientist, Israeli government. This should be totally forbidden. It's playing with fire. I agree 100%. Dr. Richard Edbright, New Brunswick. The research is a clear example of gain-of-function research, so good to see the doctor here agrees. If we're able to avoid a next lab-generated pandemic, this is pretty serious talk, another lab-generated pandemic, assuming we've had one to begin with, really quite serious talk. It's imperative that oversight of enhanced potential pandemic pathogen research be strengthened. Now, this is in the United States of America we're talking about here. I am taken aback, really quite taken aback, that they've allowed this. It's imperative that officials in the United States government agencies who repeatedly have placed the public at risk by repeatedly violating the existing policies be held accountable. So, pretty strong words there. What is going on with the regulation in the United States? Professor David Livermore from University of East Anglia in England, of course. Given the strong likelihood that the COVID pandemic originated from an escape in a laboratory manipulated virus in Wuhan, okay, could well have done. These experiments seem profoundly unwise. English understatement, but when an Englishman, I don't know if his English is British anyway, I think, use the word profoundly, that really does mean profoundly. This is strong wording. Now, this research seems to have been carried out in Boston University National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory, one of 13 level 4 labs in the US. So think of one of these labs with people in sort of people in sort of space suits, things with breathing pipes and all that kind of thing. But it may not be 100% secure. Now, this is the paper here. Role of the spike pathogen and antigenic behavior. So basically antigen is the virus. And this is on the in the BA1 that they looked at here. Okay, it's a few months ago now, it's moved on. But it was just published last week. Boston University School of Medicine. And other places, I'm not picking them out as the only one. But the work does seem to have been done in this Boston University's National Emerging Diseases Lab. That seems to be where the work was carried out, as far as I can gather. Now, predominant SARS coronavirus 2 Omicron variant is highly transmissible. Of course, we know this. Even in fully vaccinated individuals, and causes attenuated disease. So the disease, in other words, the disease is not as bad. So what they wanted to find out was, the Omicron's BA1 in this example caused less severe disease. Why is that? Because we know the spike proteins change. So is it because of the change in the spike protein that's less severe disease? But when they combined it with the original Wuhan variant, they found that it caused more severe disease. So it's looking like it's not so much the spike protein that's causing more severe disease, it's the other part of the virus. So the reason that fatalities, for example, were more extreme in the early part of the pandemic, there was a high number of people died, was probably because of the core of the virus rather than necessarily because of these spike proteins of the virus. That's what they wanted to find out, and they did find that out. But at what risk is the question? Compared with other major viral variants recognised to date, fine. The Omicron spike protein usually has a large number of mutations, is considered the major driver of these phenotypes. The phenotype just means the way that the virus behaves in the real world. It's the outward expression of the genetic material of the virus. So they said we generated a chimeric recombination SARS-CoV-2. And that's what they did. They took the original Wuhan-type virus, the genetics from that, that made the core of the virus. They took the genetic material from the Omicron that generated the spike protein, and they recombined these into a brand new virus. Now, as far as I can understand, this would never have occurred in nature. So they generated this completely new virus. Right. Now let's look at what a chimera is. So a chimera just means a mix, doesn't it? It's two animals mixed. So like a man with a lion's head or a horse with wings, with, you know, that would be a chimeric situation where you've got two organisms mixed up. But in this case, it's a chimera or chimeric virus, one that contains genetic material derived from two or more distinct viruses. In this case, the original Wuhan virus and the SARS coronavirus. So the original SARS coronavirus from Wuhan, SARS-CoV-2 from Wuhan, and SARS-CoV-2, but the one that's a long time later now, the Omicron BA1. So they've combined these two in a way that really wouldn't have occurred in nature, as far as I can see, at all. Now, the US Center for Veterinary Biology from the United States Department of Agriculture gives this definition of a chimera: a new hybrid microorganism by joining nucleic acid, in this case the RNA, of course, from these two viruses, fragments from two or more different microorganisms, in this case the original Wuhan virus and the BA1 Omicron virus, artificially though in the lab, in which at least two of the fragments contain essential genes necessary for replication. REPLICATION. This virus can replicate potentially indefinitely, potentially, if it escaped, to form a new pandemic, potentially killing 80% of mice that it infects. And as we'll see, these mice were humanized. We'll look at that in a minute. But this virus could kill potentially 40, 50, 60, 70% of the people that infects. And yet they seem to be doing research on this virus. I'm really concerned. This is an existential threat. Existential to me means to do with existence. So if I caught this, if I caught this virus that they're working with in this lab, some might say playing with in this lab, it's an existential threat to my existence. I might no longer exist if I got that. And that concerns me. We could be looking at mortality rates, which are, I don't even want to think about it. Given that the original Wuhan virus and the BA1, the Omicron BA1 virus killed essentially no mice, and this kills 80% of mice. And of course, we are vertebrates, the same as mice. It just doesn't bear thinking about. How would they have the arrogance to do this? Right, back to the paper. We regenerated chimeric recombination of SARS-CoV-2, including the S gene of the spike gene of the Omicron in the backbone of the ancestral SARS coronavirus 2 isolate. So there you go. Spike protein from the spike proteins from the Omicron and the original body, if you like, from the original Wuhan virus. This new rejiggled recombination. I compared this virus with a natural circulating Omicron variant. The Omicron S-bearing virus robustly escaped vaccine-induced humoral immunity. So this new virus they've generated showed great immune escape. People that were immune to previous SARS coronavirus 2, or the mice anyway, didn't have any immunity to this. So this escaped. Not only could it kill huge numbers of people, potentially, would also have no immunity to it, or essentially no immunity to it, or very limited immunity to it, because it shows robust escape from vaccine-induced immunity. So it would be like a brand new, almost like a brand new pandemic. We would have no immunity, mainly due to mutations of the receptor binding motif, what we tend to call this the RBD, don't we? The receptor binding domain, which is the part on the SARS coronavirus 2, the bit here that actually binds into the ACE receptor, as we've looked at many times. Yet, unlike naturally occurring Omicron, efficiently replicates in the cell lines and primary like distal lung cells. Now, these cell lines here, what you have to do, of course, viruses can't reproduce on their own. They can only reproduce inside cells. So what they've done is they've taken some cells, and these cells are like the distal lung cells. So the proximal lung cells, if you look at a lung, so we've got the main trachea there and the bronchial passages, or the trachea, as you'd say in the States. And here's the lungs here. So this is, of course, what we are familiar with from anatomy. Now, the proximal tissues will be the ones up here near the mouth, that they're proximal tissues. The distal tissues will be the ones down here in the lungs, right down here. And of course, as you probably know, what happens is the airways get smaller and smaller, branching to smaller and smaller airways until they get to the alveoli. The air sacs, where the gaseous exchange takes place, the oxygen goes from there to there, and the carbon dioxide goes from the blood into the lungs. So the distal cells are like the cells you would get here in the distal part of the airway. These would all be distal airway cells. And of course, these are the ones we're particularly worried about, because if we get inflammation in here, this can fill up with fluid, and we get the acute respiratory distress syndrome that killed so many people at the start of the pandemic. Not what we want. So they were trying these distal cells to see how it worked in these distal cells. And that's what they did. Now, they were using KH-HAC2 mice, angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor 2 mice. Now, what this is, now, I don't like this research either particularly, but I don't pretend to be an expert in it. But what they've done here is they've taken some genes from a human, say me, for example, and they've taken the genes from me that code for my ACE2 receptors, that make my ACE2 receptors, and they've put the genes from a human into a mouse. So that it's still a mouse, but it makes human molecular architecture type ACE2 receptors. So the ACE2 receptors in the transgenic humanized mouse are basically chemically the same as mine. So they can model them. And these new virus that they made latched onto those in the mice and killed 80% of the mice. Therefore, it's reasonable to assume that this new virus that they created would latch onto my distal ACE2 receptors as well, causing severe inflammation, just as it did in the unfortunate 80% of the mice that it killed. So transgenic mice, they express the human ACE2 angiotensin 2 receptor that the virus binds onto, including airway epithelia, where infection typically begins, as we know, the lining tissues of the airways. Because they're susceptible to SARS-CoV-2 virus, they are useful as an experimental model, basically. So it's mice. We're talking about mice with human ACE2 receptors. That's how they know that this would work in human cells, because it's the same as the ACE2 receptors that are expressed by the mice are the same as in me, because it's made by the same human gene, transgenic humanized mice. So that's what that means. That's what this line is. Omicron cases were mild, non-fatal infections. Good in the mice. The Omicron S-carrying virus, the new one they jiggled around with, what you might call the Frankenstein virus, inflicts severe disease with a mortality rate of 80%. Now, 80%, that's one more than 79%. This is massive. Just imagine if this virus escaped and it killed, worst case scenario, perhaps 80% of people. Suppose it only killed 8% of people. It would spread rapidly. We don't have immunity to it. They've already said it has huge immune escape. The vaccine-induced immunity would not work against this new virus. The natural-induced immunity might work a bit better, but I don't particularly want to find out. This is just... I find this terrifying, to be quite honest. Kills 80% of these humanised mice. This indicates that while the vaccine escape of Omicron is defined by the mutation in the spike, the major determinant of viral pathogenicity rests outside of the spike protein. So the reason that Omicron is... It's interesting, to be fair. The reason that Omicron is killing less people, is less pathogenic, might not be related to changes in the spike protein that we've been monitoring. And while we've been spending all our time looking at the spike protein, we've taken our eye off the ball for the other components of the virus, and it seems to be changes in the other components of the virus, the envelope and the nucleocapsid protein and the RNA and things like that. It might be changes in those which makes the virus more or less pathogenic. And because they've changed, the Omicron variant is less pathogenic. So it's interesting. But the risk to find out that piece of knowledge is, to me, just too immense. Let's give the final word to Mary Shelley, who, of course, wrote Frankenstein, first published in 1818. This book, of course, is about the risk of human arrogance, that human beings, in all their cleverness in inverted commas, can make a monster which they can no longer control. It's a terrifying idea, and it's the reason why Mary Shelley's Frankenstein has been a bestseller for well over 200 years now, because it gets to the heart of something. And let's just look at one of the quotes. This is from the 1831 edition. Frightful must it be, for supremely frightful would be the effect of any human endeavour to mock the stupendous mechanisms of the creator of the world. How dare we think we can copy the creator? We are mocking the situation. It may well be that we've just had a pandemic because of this human arrogance. And we'll probably never know for sure. And this research in Boston has got the risk of it causing another one if it were to escape. I strongly suspect the security in Boston is way, way, way better than security in Wuhan. But personally, I don't want to risk my life and the lives of my family and the lives of you watching, just so we can write a few academic papers. I therefore call on the American government to close this research down immediately. Immediately. Hygienically destroy all these Frankenstein viruses, and if the viruses don't exist, then they won't escape. Thank you for watching.
Het is schokkend nieuws. In Boston, bij de Universiteit van Boston, hebben ze een nieuwe gevaarlijke pathogeen geproduceerd, een Frankenstein-virus. Dus een virus die niet in de natuur ooit zou kunnen ontstaan. Dus de vraag is, wat is het nut van zo'n gevaarlijk experiment? Het is zeker een gain-of-function experiment, want je maakt van een pathogeen, van een Omicron-variant, die ontzettend besmettelijk is, maar niet zo gevaarlijk. Dan maak je een veel gevaarlijker variant van. En trouwens, een variant die resistent is tegen de bestaande vaccins. Dus het is gewoon een verschrikking. Dus ook mensen die alle vaccins gehaald hebben, die zijn resistent. Dus deze nieuwe variant die kan makkelijk alle vaccins ontsnappen. Ze hebben iets gecreëerd wat niet bestond. Een chimerische virus. Een Frankenstein virus. Een virus die ook makkelijk kan reproduceren. Die dus in staat zou kunnen zijn om een nieuwe pandemie te creëren. Waar zijn we in godsnaam mee bezig? En dat was Björk in Atopos. En nu gaan we luisteren naar de Raincoats in The Void. Mm-hmm. In The Void, een nummer van 1979. En nu gaan we luisteren naar Little Lamb, uitgevoerd door Tenebrae Choir van John Tavener. Ja, dat waren de magische noten van The Lamb, uitgevoerd door Tenebre Choir van John Taverner. En dit was Voice of the Town. Zo zijn we aan het einde gekomen van deze uitzending. Hartelijk dank voor jullie aandacht en graag tot de volgende keer. U luisterde naar Voice of the Town. Informatie, actualiteit en mooie muziek. Op woensdagavond van 8 tot 9 op Radio Salto Amsterdam. Voice of the Town. Tot de volgende keer.